is my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs and voices never shared. And no one dared disturb the sound of silence.
Thank you, Mike. Folks, you are listening to Republic Broadcasting Network here at RBN out of Texas. This is Jeffrey Bennett's show, The Edge of Darkness, and I am your guest host, Maggie Rose, filling in for Jeffrey on Mondays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 to 7 Mountain, 7 to 8 Central, and 8 to 9 p.m. East Coast time. Today's date is January the 16th, 2023, and this is a live edition of The Edge of Darkness, Jeffrey Bennett Show. Welcome back, folks. Today is a Monday, and there's been a lot that's been going on since the week ended of last Friday and over the weekend. Have some information here to pass on to those of you in this hour. It's going to be a very fast hour. We may or may not be taking a break at the bottom of the hour at the 30-minute mark. Mike will let us know either way. If I do take callers, I'll be taking callers in about the last 5 to 10 minutes, folks, because I do have a lot of information here that I want to get out. And when you do make your calls, please, if we had more than an hour, we'd be able to have a lot more conversation. But being we only have an hour, please either make your comment or ask your question or present whatever it is that you want to present to the listening audience. And let's get in and out so maybe we can get more than just two or three callers in that 10-minute period of time. If I don't have an answer to your question, I will say so. I'm not one of those persons that tries to say that I know it all and that I've been all and have my finger on everything that's going on. But I really believe that all of us are here to learn from each other. And I believe that those of you who have come up before and called into the show have been able to actually give me information that I didn't know about. So this is a learning lesson. You know, one of the things that my mother used to share with me, and I used to share with my students when I was teaching classes in the military, is that sometimes we learn more from our students than we do have them learning from us. Again, we learn something sometimes more from our students than we believe that we are having them learn from us. And that goes here on radio too. Sometimes those of us who are in the Patriot community, the Christian community, the conservative community, find that we are learning a lot more from those outside of radio broadcasting, and maybe even other journalists like ourselves will come to me and say, you know what, I didn't know this that you shared, and I looked up the information you put out there and it was spot on. So I try not to put anything out there that is hearsay. We all know that for the most part, most of our news media, our TVs and our newspapers are publishing things that are twisted, that are tainted, and that are not always putting out true information. In fact, they're putting out misinformation. That is why I go to places like Newsmax, and I go to places like One American News, and I go to the American Free Press, and even to the Roseburg Beacon, because these are places that are fairly conservative, but they do try to show both sides of an issue whenever they possibly can. And that's what we want. When we also don't want to be spoon-fed. But for those of you that have shared with me again that you don't have TV, you don't get newspapers, or your lives are so full of so much on your plate that you don't even have the time to really sometimes sit down and read even a good book that you would like to be able to do. And some of you are out there so busy prepping, like my friend Olaf. I mean, he's saying right now, rather than worrying about politics and the ins and outs of what's going on in his state of Oregon or across the country, around the world, he is just in survival mode right now, prepping, preparing for whatever might come, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it is, you know, a man-made disaster, a false flag that's been set up. I was just talking to my friend Steve on the phone today. I haven't spoken to him for a while. He was himself, like I was, he was actually considering running for governor, where I actually did. But he finally at one point pulled back, and he has been devoting himself to dealing with the sex and human trafficking, especially the child trafficking that's been going on across the border in Texas and New Mexico. Unfortunately, they have governors in some of the states down there that are not really adhering to their oath of office and trying to protect the people of their communities. Governors like the one in New Mexico, I mean, she's just a joke. But Governor Abbott, at least he's been trying somewhat to try to stem the tide. Unfortunately, what's going on is Biden is allowing the borders to be so open and porous that we have, our national security is at risk. We are in danger because of all the criminals been allowed to come over the border. In fact, at one case, I heard that there was a huge, gigantic vehicle that came, and it was loaded up with many children under the age of 14. Boys and girls were being loaded into this vehicle, and the Associated Press was there to actually film these children. They were being loaded up into this huge vehicle. And the border agents themselves came and forced the Associated Press reporter to erase everything that he had recorded, his entire evidence, his entire tape. Now, why is that? Is that under orders of Biden, coming from Biden straight down to the border patrol that's on the borders of California and Texas and New Mexico? Why is it that they didn't want evidence of these children being loaded up into this big vehicle? And what about Christine, who's actually gone down to the border? And it's reported that the cartels are in so much control in Mexico, in South America, that the Mexican police, they cannot even control the mayhem that's taking place on the other side of our southern border. That the cartels are in charge. The cartels are murdering people, and they're manipulating people, and their people are being bought off. Even the police, even the mayors of some of these towns are being told, you either let us pay you shush money, or you and your family is going to disappear. So basically, we can say that all hell is breaking loose south of the border. And these cartels are making deals with politicians and crooked law enforcement here on our side of the border. And children are being carted away. And from the reports we got from Christine, these children are being euthanized for their organs. that their organs are being sold on the black market. So young children who are not put into the sex trade are actually being euthanized so their body parts can be sold on the black market. And then, of course, we already know about Biden and Adam Schiff and his wife and other politicians doing deals with the communist Chinese, knowing the communist Chinese are rounding up people of religious background, people that are purely innocent, have not committed any crimes, and they're being housed in concentration camps and forced into slave labor as they pick them off one at a time to sell their body organs. In fact, one doctor came forward not long ago, and he was reporting that they were being forced to remove the organs from healthy living young men and women in communist China and not even allowed to do any anesthesia, that they were having their livers and their kidneys and their other organs, their lungs, stripped out of their body while they were alive and being held down until the last thing was to be snipped away was their heart. Folks, these are things that nightmares are made of, but these are things that are truly happening around the world. And then we come to America, where people don't want to hear about these things. They don't want to hear what's being done to children, regardless of the children are Latino or not. They don't want to hear about the crimes against humanity because it's too horrible for them to deal with. And their attitude is, well, what can we do about it? I've seen this in California. I've seen this in Kansas. I've seen this in Idaho. I've seen this in Oregon and Washington State, where people who call themselves patriots and Americans are just shrugging their shoulders and putting their hands up in the air and say, what can we do about it? Well, you know what? If 1% to 3% of the Americans back during the Revolutionary War had said that, we wouldn't even be in the free country that we somewhat feel that we're in today. Because as you all know, the monarchy, England, had decided that they one way or another were going to take over the United States. And they got into a deal with the Vatican. And they were actually shipping money to the Confederacy to fight against those people in the Union. And the country of England was doing deals with other European countries to try to help them to win the war, the Revolutionary War. When that didn't work, the English came back in 1812 and burned our churches and burned many of our historical records and burned the White House, all to try to take over the people that were here, that were trying to establish themselves the freedoms they didn't have in England, they didn't have in Europe. And when that didn't work, then we found, you know, that first the Revolutionary War, that didn't work. 1812, that didn't work. So then the Queen of England at the time and the King of England decided, okay, now we're going to send money to the Confederacy for the Civil War. And we're going to make sure that we take over the United States of America and we colonize that the way we want it to be. Well, they didn't quite succeed in the Civil War either. So we've got the Revolutionary War. We've got 1812. We've got the Civil War. Well, they finally decided they had to do something a little bit different. So they managed to find a way to usurp our Constitution, basically make it null and void. In 1871, they started with big corporations taking over the United States of America. And these big corporations have been pretty much running the show ever since. So even though I don't agree with Antifa and Black Lives Matter and how they've been going about protesting, and protesting what they see going on with capitalism, at the same time, I understand where they're coming from. Capitalism has reached a point now where it is not really a capitalism that we are living under. We're living under a form of socialism and even communism because of the big corporations, because of the big pharmaceuticals. So again, like I said, I understand how some of the people in Antifa and Black Lives Matter are feeling disgruntled and angry, and they're putting down capitalism, but at the same time, they're pushing up Marxism and supporting Marxism and or communism when they really don't understand what it stands for, what it means, and what it would entail to live in a socialistic or communistic country. Right now, we have not completely gone into the garbage can where we can call ourselves a communistic country. But socialism is the slippery slide into communism. And this is what the people who are pushing Antifa and Black Lives Matter and helping George Soros and Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci pull the different agendas together as they've been doing. One of the things we're going to be talking about this evening is Kevin McCarthy and his concessions. And, you know, rather than just sharing these things with you in my own words, sometimes I need to just read the actual print of what is happening. This came out of the Beacon, the Roseburg Beacon, January 11 to January 17th of this year, in Volume 16, Issue 2. And this article is written by Bob Elderman, who is the guest contributor. In his acceptance speech just after midnight on Saturday, the newly elected Speaker of the House, Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, claimed that, quote, "My ultimate responsibility is not to my party, my conference, or even our Congress. My responsibility is to our country." But without major concessions to rule changes that he originally opposed, McCarthy would not be holding the gavel. McCarthy, with the Freedom Index rating of just 60 out of 100, is now beginning to sound like a constitutionalist. "We commit to stop wasteful Washington spending, to lower the price of groceries, and stop the rising national debt. We pledge to cut the regulatory burden, lower energy costs for families, and create good-paying jobs for workers by unleashing reliable, abundant American-made energy." And he got specific. "Our first bill will repeal funding for the 87,000 new IRS agents, because the government should be here to help you, not go after you." One could convincingly argue that under the Constitution that McCarthy regularly flouts, the federal government is not, quote, "here to help you," unquote, but to stay out of the way so people can help themselves. Nevertheless, McCarthy went on, "We're going to pass bills to fix the nation's urgent challenges, from wide open southern border to America last energy policies to woke indoctrination in our schools." He promised to create committees to, quote, "pursue the truth, no more one-sided inquiries," unquote. The rules will be voted on Monday night, and there are the key concessions McCarthy made in his ultimately successful quest to lead the House: a motion to remove the Speaker. Originally, McCarthy wanted the House Freedom Caucus, the small but determined group of constitutionalists who held their ground, to agree that he could be removed only if half of the Republican Party's members in the House agreed to it. The caucus members said no, demanding that McCarthy agreed to the rule that just one member of the House could call for a vote to oust the Speaker. McCarthy counteroffered 5. The group said no. McCarthy finally agreed to 1. Give more committee chairs, seats, to Freedom Caucus members. House Freedom Caucus members will receive 3 of the 9 seats on the powerful House Rules Committee, the committee that has a major influence on which bills may be brought to the floor for a vote. No more omnibus spending bills. Instead of wrapping a multitude of bills into one massive pork-laden package, like the $1.7 trillion bill that was passed by the Democrats in December, individual spending bills will be presented separately for a vote. And House members will have 72 hours before voting, giving them time to read the bills. Possible spending cuts. This rule would cap spending at the levels from 2 years ago, which would mean potential spending cuts to most government programs. Restoring the Holman rule. This will allow amendments to reduce lawmakers' salaries, to fire federal employees, and to cut federal government programs. Vote on the Texas border plan. The plan has 4 aims. 1, to complete building the wall. 2, to strengthen border enforcement. 3, to enforce laws against illegals already inside the country. And to target the drug cartels and other criminal organizations enabling the invasion of illegals into the country. How about investigate the weaponizing of federal agencies? McCarthy agreed to allow a judiciary subcommittee to investigate, among other things, the Department of Justice's raid on Trump's Florida residence and its probe into his handling of classified documents. One Freedom Caucus staffer exulted, "Any rule that limits the speaker's power is a step in the right direction. The Freedom Caucus is more relevant than ever, and McCarthy won't be able to get anything done without our endorsement and support." Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, with a Freedom Index rating of 93, celebrated. House conservatives delivered a massive victory for the American people by fundamentally changing the way Congress will operate. We changed the way bills will be passed. We changed the way government will be funded. We changed the way committees will be formed. We secured votes on term limits, the fair tax, the Texas border plan, and so much more. Perhaps the most significant of the rules, if passed by the House Monday night, which is tonight, is the one that threatens to oust Speaker McCarthy if he fails to live up to his end of the bargain. That was a very interesting article. Now, another thing that came out that I found was very interesting was regarding what is going on right now with what is happening, let's see, with some of our Democrats that had been serving in Washington, D.C., and many of us have been complaining for some time how they have betrayed the American people. Now, this is on page 15 of the Roseburg Beacon, the Wednesday, January 11th edition. It's entitled, under the national headline, "You Are Fired." You're fired. Three extreme Dems are booted off congressional committees. U.S. Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California. U.S. Representative Ihan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota. And Eric Swalwell and his girlfriend Christine Fang. Three extremist Democrats have been booted off, and this article is put out by Bob Unruh. Three extremist Democrats, Representatives Adam Schiff, Ilhan Omar, and Eric Swalwell, are being removed from their congressional committee assignments by Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who, as leader of the new GOP majority in the House, is keeping his campaign promises. The Gateway Pundit reported McCarthy confirmed this week that the Democrats, quote, will not be serving on the committees they served on previously, unquote. The report noted that the reasons were, and I quote, Eric Swalwell famously had a relationship with Chinese spy Fang Fang. Ilhan Omar broke federal immigration laws and when she married her brother. Adam Schiff is a serial liar and a favorite of the far-left mainstream media, unquote. Schiff and Swalwell had been on the House Intelligence Committee, and Omar was on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. She insisted she should be allowed to stay on the panel because she is African, quote, unquote. According to a report at the UK's Daily Mail, quote, the move is likely payback for former Democrat House Speaker Nancy Pelosi stripping the GOP representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar from their committee assignments during the 117th Congress, unquote. Under previous operating standards, Democrat Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries would offer those names as nominees to be on the various committees and McCarthy would approve. However, McCarthy has already pointed out that Swalwell, quote, can't get a security clearance in the private sector, unquote. And Schiff has, quote, lied too many times to the American public, unquote. Schiff, in fact, was one of the major players in former Speaker Nancy Pelosi's multiple failed campaigns to impeach and remove President Trump from office. He claimed he had seen evidence of the Trump's 2016 campaign's collusion, quote unquote, with Russia, even though that is now a debunked conspiracy scheme that was actually cooked up by the Democrats and used fake evidence in court. McCarthy explained the new process, quote, Remember, this is what Nancy Pelosi, this is the type of Congress she wanted to have, unquote. Swalwell earned his reputation for controversy by accepting help from a Chinese spy named Fang Fang to raise money for his campaign. The report said he, quote, remained friends with her on Facebook long after an FBI briefing on her ties to China, unquote. Omar has shared a number of anti-Semitic comments. The Daily Mail documented, quote, McCarthy has been vowing since 2021 to block Swalwell, Schiff, and Omar from spots on the Intelligence and the Foreign Affairs Committee. Earlier, Democrats had attacked Green over comments made before she entered Congress. Gosar similarly was accused of improper comments on social media. But it isn't interesting, folks, that Omar has actually made racist, inflammatory comments while she was sitting in her position. So fortunately now, those three, or at least for right now, they are gone. Gone, 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 gone. We have also right here, out of National also, top Christian, U.S. opening Pandora's box that will lead to unspeakable atrocities. The Bible warns of those who pervert its instructions, calling good that the scriptures determine as evil and vice versa. It's found in Isaiah 5:20, which in the King James says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And now it's happening, warns James Dobson, the founder of Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson and the James Dobson Family Institute. He also founded the influential Family Research Council in the mid-1980s, has advised multiple presidents, and has written dozens of books that have sold millions of copies, including Dare to Discipline, The Strong-Willed Child, Bringing Up Boys, Bringing Up Girls, and When God Doesn't Make Sense. In his new online newsletter, he explains how the leftism being promoted by Washington, D.C. these days has left him concerned. The issues at hand are abortion, the destruction of the most innocent of lives and marriage, the demolition of the biblical standard that the institution is for one man and one woman. Our country is abandoning our most sacred values of life and liberty, even in the wake of overturning Roe versus Wade. The cultural mandate to equate the slaughter of unborn babies with the inherent rights of women seems to be embraced now more than ever. It is appalling to think that our politicians on the left are celebrating the so-called right that they now refer to as women's health care, he said. He said on that issue, America is opening Pandora's box that would lead to unspeakable atrocities, and I fear our ultimate demise as a nation. The reason for the rebellion by humanity against biblical standards isn't complicated, he said. Quote, at the heart of this moral free fall concerning the sanctity of life is a spiritual battle. It is mankind wanting their own way apart from God. That is exactly why the left and the other communities are relentlessly attacking the absolute truth found in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He explained, by demanding the right to kill the unborn, the leftists are, quote, denouncing the very imprint of God upon his creation, unquote. He goes on to say, quote, it is the clay telling the potter that he doesn't exist. And once this happens, man can begin to recreate life in his own image. History has shown us where this will lead. Evil will become good and good will be declared evil. Tragically, America is already running recklessly towards this end, unquote, he said. And, of course, the article goes on. You can find it if you go to the Roseburg Beacon, and that is on page 14 under the area called National. Now, we also have here, House Republicans are introducing a bill to protect babies who survive abortions. Folks, those of you listening here on Republic Broadcasting Network, are you aware of the fact that the House Republicans have introduced new legislation that would stop infanticide and protect babies who survive abortion. This is a very similar measure to the one that pro-abortion, the former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, blocked 80 times when she ran the House. Again, House Republicans have introduced new legislation that would stop the infanticide and protect babies who survive abortion. This is a similar measure to one that pro-abortion former Speaker Nancy Pelosi blocked 80 times when she ran the House. Now, looking this up and reading this one article on this, it also shows that it will also penalize doctors who allow the infants to die or those doctors to intentionally kill a newborn following a failed abortion. And it appears that Ann Wagner, Republican of, I guess it is Montana, or no, actually it's Missouri, announced the reintroduction of the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, Republican, out of, I guess it was out of Louisiana, and Representative Kat Kamak, Republican out of Florida, joining as original co-sponsors. The Born Alive Act, folks, will ensure that these infants that are born alive after an attempted abortion, these infants can receive the same protection of law. They can receive the same degree of care as any newborn baby. Also, Wagner went on to say, and I quote, all children should have the right to receive life-saving care, especially those who survive an abortion. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act will provide common sense protections for innocent children and their mothers and will ensure all babies receive the essential care they need at an incredibly vulnerable moment. It pains me that this fight has to be fought at all, but medical care for babies should not be a partisan issue. Now, with Republicans in the majority, the House will finally take action and vote to protect the fundamental right to life, unquote. So this is a really good article, folks. It goes on basically to say, I am proud, quote, that Republicans are following through on the promises that we made to the American people. All life is sacred and must be protected, unquote. It turned out that Congresswoman Wagner's legislation, ladies and gentlemen, will give these babies born alive during an abortion the necessary life-saving medical care that any other baby would receive to give them the best chance at life. It is appalling that for the last 4 years, Democrats refused to hold a vote on the born alive abortion issue and on the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act. Republicans are committed to defending life and doing everything in our power to keep babies who survive an abortion alive. There's a Melissa Odin who survived a botched abortion. She told Life News that she is grateful for the bill, and she went on to say, quote, this legislation will save lives. The Abortion Survivors Network is committed to serving survivors of abortion at any gestational age, along with their mothers who deserve compassionate prenatal and postpartum care, a delivery plan, and emotional support. Let us work together to ensure that infant survivors and their mothers receive the best medical and emotional care possible. We are proud to stand with Congresswoman Wagner in support of this legislation. Leading pro-life groups who also supported the bill was the Honorable Marilyn Musgrave, SBA Pro-Life America's Vice President of Government Affairs. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, she said, goes on, quote, showcases the barbaric reality of late-term abortion and ensures that babies are born alive who are born alive during a failed abortion receive the same medical care as any other baby born prematurely at the same age. As Democrats in Congress continue to push their radical agenda of abortion on demand up until birth, we thank Representatives Ann Wagner, Steve Scalise, and Kat Kamak for their tireless fight for the children, born and unborn. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, National Right to Life commends Representatives Wagner, Scalise, and Kamak for reintroducing the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. This reasonable legislation would protect a baby born alive following an abortion. This bill isn't about interfering with the so-called right to abortion. It's about stopping the infanticide. Congress must act now to pass this legislation and protect these vulnerable babies. House Democrats refused to vote on the bill 80 times, reading the same statement they read the previous 79 occasions that claims there's no bipartisan agreement to bring the bill up for a vote. Despite the claim, Republican leaders have repeatedly asked Pelosi and top Democrats to reach an agreement for the bill to receive a vote. Democrats also blocked the bill twice in the Senate. National polling shows Americans, including people who are pro-choice on abortion, oppose abortion up to birth and oppose infanticide. And doctors indicate abortions are never needed to protect a woman's health, and women admit having abortions on healthy babies. So, wow, we have that. Also in the news, this came out also by Bob and Ruth, Ashley Babbitt. You remember the innocent woman that was unarmed and all she was doing was climbing up and standing in the windowway there inside the Capitol? Well, it turned out Ashley Babbitt's shooter was given, quote, distinguished visitor suite to live in. He got to live on a military base in what is normally a suite or an apartment that is for dignitaries that come to Joint Base Andrews. Quote, a report from government watchdog Judicial Watch reveals that Michael Byrd, the Capitol police officer who shot and killed an unarmed Ashley Babbitt during the January 6, 2021 riot at the Capitol, was given afterward the, quote, distinguished visitor suite at Joint Base Andrews in which to live for free. The report said thousands of taxpayer dollars were used to house Mr. Byrd and his pet for several months. It was the only homicide tied to the riot, the watchdog said. Through a Freedom of Information fight, Judicial Watch got 31 pages of documents from the Air Force showing Byrd's housing was, quote, at taxpayer expense, unquote. Judicial Watch obtained the records in response to a September 2022 Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia after Joint Base Andrews and the Civil Rights Division, okay, of, let me see if I can find it here, okay, of the Justice Department and the FBI failed to respond to three of July 2022 FOIA request about Byrd's housing at Joint Base Andrews while his name as the shooter of Ashley Babbitt was being withheld from the public by the government. The organization reported, the documents show that Lieutenant Byrd and his pet stayed in the, quote, distinguished visitor suite at the Presidential Inn, part of the Air Force Inns, under a Capitol Police Presidential Inn reservation for the period of July 8, 2021 through January 28, 2022, the report said. Quote, a representative at Joint Base Andrews informed us that a, quote, distinguished visitor suite is typically reserved for officers in the rank of 07, which is Brigadier General or higher, the watchdog said. The records and an email dated November 15th, 2021, indicate the cost that we taxpayers paid for Lieutenant Byrd's lodging fluctuated from $161 in July 2021 to $158 for August 2021 to $184 a night for September 2021 and $185 for October 2021 and to $165 for November 2021. But he stayed there every day, consistently every night from July 8, 2021 to January 28, 2022. Judicial Watch said it earlier got audiovisual and photographic records from Washington Metro Police about the shooting, including a cell phone video of the shooting. Quote, we previously uncovered records from the D.C. Metropolitan Police showing that officers reported they didn't see a weapon in Babbitt's hand before Byrd shot her, and that Byrd, or Byrd, was visibly distraught afterwards. One officer attested that he didn't recall hearing any verbal commands before Byrd shot Babbitt. The records include internal communications about Byrd's case and a crime scene examination report. Investigators who wrote the January 6, 2021 for Babbitt, identified as Ashley Elizabeth McInty Babbitt Palmonitan, noted that the possible manner of death was homicide. Police-involved shooting, the watchdog reported. Now, this is what's really interesting, folks. The WND reported only last week that on the second anniversary of Babbitt's shooting death, which was this month, is the second anniversary, that on the second anniversary of Babbitt's shooting death, Capitol Police arrested her mother, Mickey Mittenweft, who was protesting what happened to her daughter 2 years ago. The Gateway Pundit posted a statement from the police agency that said that Ashley Babbitt's mother, Mickey, was accused of blocking traffic and not obeying an order. The report explained that Mickey Mittenweft was part of a group of protesters walking westbound on Independence Avenue between the Capitol and the House Office buildings. A trailing police officer in a marked car tried to order the protesters to move to the sidewalk away from the Capitol. The protesters ignored the warning, continued peacefully marching with Mittenweft on the outside in the middle of a traffic lane. Unquote. It continued, quote, Capitol Police set up a roadblock and ordered the protesters to cross the street to the sidewalk or be arrested. After an officer shoulder-checked Mittenweft, where she tried to move past him, she then turned her back. She turned her back to the officers and offered to be arrested. So here's a mother peacefully protesting with others the murder, the assassination of her daughter, Ashley Babbitt, by a gentleman by the name of Mr. Byrd, who we also know was not born here in the United States of America, and we also believe was an undercover CIA agent. Do we have any calls?
No calls.
Okay. So what I'd like to share here, this is coming from Dr. Angus Dalglish out of St. George's Medical School and Hospital in London. And I would like you to listen to what his warnings are, what he's discovering from those people that are getting the boosters, who are getting the second, the third, and the fourth boosters. Again, this is Dr. Angus, D-A-L-G-L-E-I-S-H, a professor of oncology, that means cancer, at St. George's Medical Hospital and School in London.
I'm Angus Dalglish. I'm a professor of oncology at St. George's, a consultant medical oncologist. And I have started to notice that several of my patients with melanoma who've been stable, stage 4 disease, they've had very good immunotherapy or other treatments, and I've been reviewing them from 5 to 20 years, I've noticed that I have now over 6, possibly 7, even an 8th yesterday, who've clearly relapsed following the booster vaccine. At first, we didn't put the two together, but when patients said, I felt awful since the vaccine, I've just been drained. They describe symptoms of like a long COVID. And the next thing we know, 2-3 weeks, a couple of months later, they've got clear evidence of relapse. And these relapses are quite aggressive. They're not a gentle relapse. They're relapses that are requiring systemic therapy as opposed to a little nodule that requires surgical excision. But it's not just this. I'm now very much aware in my own circle of many people who are having, they haven't got melanoma, but they've never had anything before, but they've got lumps and bumps and they're not feeling well. And two people I've interviewed at great length, they all put it down to feeling awful after their booster. They were fine with the first two vaccines, or just had shivers, flu, etc. But they've described being very tired, very fatigued, wanting to stay in bed, and this has dragged on to the point where they've gone to the doctor and they've had blood counts and investigations, and I now know 7 of them. 2 of them have leukemias and the others have lymphomas, and one of them has a very bad myeloma, which he was absolutely sure was instigated by the booster as he developed dreadful symptoms. So really I want to bring to everybody's attention that I think that this does not look like a coincidence to me, and we need to join forces and see if this is a real effect, and if it is, we must stop all the boosters immediately. Thank you.
So basically, folks, this is what I'm hearing all over the country and all over the world. I have still contact with many of my soldiers who were in the military with me during the 35 years I served in boots, both active duty, guard, and reserve. Many of them are telling me now that the active duty components of the military are no longer being forced to take the jabs, but for some reason the National Guard and the Army Reserve and the Air Force Reserve, that the Guard and Reserve members are still being forced to take these jabs. Even knowing that these jabs are causing death, they're causing myocarditis, they're causing people who never had cancer before, to all of a sudden there's an explosion of reports of cancer spreading not only across the United States, but around the world. It's also, these jabs are causing people's autoimmune response. Basically, it's ruining their immunity. It is not helping them. It is ruining their immunity. And one of the things that Ben Armstrong put on his show was talking about that the more jabs, the more serious, and there will probably be a lot more people that will be dying in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead. This is not a coincidence. This is something that is very obviously going on, and the mainstream media is trying to suppress it. So let me go ahead and play this for you. Getting jabbed is becoming very deadly.
United States and other governments that have shown this to be true. The more you're vaccinated, the more likely you will end up in the hospital. Take a look.
Smoking gun, COVID infection rates higher among vaccinated. Australian data reveals. Now, these numbers out of Australia are almost the identical graphs to Israel, to Singapore, to the UK, to Germany, to Canada, the list goes on and on. And it's all in this article at Infowars.com. It's life-saving. So get this out on your email, on your text message, word of mouth. Take it to church. Take it to your work. Warn people. They're counting on us just laying there. And again, if you just joined us, here's the statistics out of Australia. A 236.4% increase in hospital increases and visits and sickness from COVID versus a 3.6 increase at the highest level for those that took no shots. You see a massive increase of 90.0% in people that took 3 shots. You see a 78% increase in those that took 2 shots. You see a peak of 50%+ in people that took 1 shot. Now, Dr. Robert W. Malone, MD, inventor of mRNA technology, using the same New South Wales, Australia COVID ICU admissions numbers.
Yeah, and he's going to give those, but I'm going to pause it for a second. The flat line, basically, at the bottom was unvaccinated people. They're not affected at all. That's basically what he's saying. There's no non-effect, according to the Australian government. And the people who have been jabbed 4 times, we thought being jabbed 3 times was bad. There is a clear, big, giant jump, more than between 2 and 3 jabs. The biggest jump is between 3 and 4 jabs. I know there are a bunch of people who have been vaccinated, and you've only been vaccinated once, maybe some of you twice, and you're not going to get vaccinated again. You know why? Because people like me have been pounding this stuff, and somebody got information to you to where you have hesitated, and we may have just saved your life. And I'm not, like, trying to pound my chest. It's the truth. the more we can get people to understand this, and the more they don't get vaccinated, the more likely their life could be saved. But if they keep going, they're going to end up dead from the common cold. The common cold is going to become like a killer black plague disease. The more you get jabbed, the more you make the common cold the black plague. Do you understand? This is what we warned about. Why? Why is this? It's scientifically proven that the jab is destroying your immune system. It's more than that. It's making it so that it doesn't view, because you're creating the spike protein, because your mRNA technology is telling your body to create this, it doesn't view it as an enemy, and then you are going to get sicker and sicker and sicker, and your immune system isn't going to respond like a normal person. So I, who have not been jabbed, that cold comes, my body fights it. I get the runny nose, I eat some chicken noodle soup, I'm fine. I had a sore throat.
Folks, so basically what's happening with every jab you get, you are compromising, if not completely destroying, your natural immune system. Think about it. Talk to your family and friends. If they've only had one or two jabs, beg them. Get down on your knees. Beg them not to go back for a second or a third one. Oh, folks, we have Francis right now in North Carolina on the line. Hello, Francis.
Hello, young lady.
Hello, young lady.
Hello there, ma'am.
Indeed. One, have a great week for that matter to start with. As far as this one officer by the name of Bird that has got a luxury accommodation or whatever, feel for the animal, pet, whatever, be a dog, cat, or whatever that's with him. I hope they rot in there.
Yeah.
Because they don't deserve to live, especially given the fact that they took someone else's life. They don't deserve to live, period. It's a disgrace.
Somebody like that who's a Capitol Police officer, I don't care if they're an undercover police officer, if he is or was part of the CIA, somebody who would react like that without even calling out and giving her a warning order before he shot, was emotionally out of control and should not have a gun in his hands.
Bingo. You just nailed the problem right there. Not giving for a warning, but still, even if they had a firearm, it should not have been dislodged until the warning was issued, which apparently it was not, for that matter. Who knows what kind of training they had to start with. As far as the shot jab is concerned, if I remember correctly, as a child, when you were given a shot jab for chickenpox, smallpox, you name it, measles, blah, 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 they didn't give you, say, you need to come back for this or you need to come back for that. It was done and over with. You were allowed for your physical biology to work with that, because for one thing, the instrument that was in that shock jab was dead to start with. It was never alive, and thus your body was allowed a chance to work with that and attack it, and thus build up a natural immunity. Whereas with this, it is live or mechanical or whatever, and so this aspect of you need to come back for a boost this, a boost that, and so forth, however many there is, excuse me, but that defies logic, period.
Exactly. And now what they're doing, Francis, is that somebody added up that if they were to give their children kindergarten, or actually before kindergarten, from newborn all the way to graduation of high school, all the different jabs that the government wants them to have, it's over 78 of them during a lifetime of from newborn to just graduating high school. That's insane.
It is insane because, quite frankly, it's genocide. And if that child that grows into adulthood is actually able to survive all that, their genealogy is screwed. It is totally screwed. And so if they hope to reproduce, good luck, because who knows what their children are going to be like when they do reproduce, if they do at all. Their genealogy is messed up. And so
it's big time.
I mean, they basically adulterated their gene pool. The parents, because they took the child, said, well, my child has to go to school, but they have to have the shot. No, they don't. You go and subject your child to that. You're insulting your genealogy. You're insulting what you were born with from your parents and your grandparents and so forth on back in time, as it's known linearly. And basically, you're insulting the creator that gifted you with your immune system there was nothing wrong with to start with. Excuse me for getting a little bit ticked off there. But anyway, with that, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple in my Corona with the various variants thereof, and have a great week.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you, Francis, for that call. Folks, this is Maggie Rose. This is Jeffrey Bennett's The Edge of Darkness here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Don't forget to help donate or patronize our sponsors to keep us going on the air. We will be back this Friday. Maggie Rose will be back with you again here on the Edge of Darkness on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please have a safe week, and God bless and good night.
The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do you think we have time? These are the days of the empty hand. Oh, we hold on to what you can. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to hope. There is no hope to speak out. Skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Time.
would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.